So good to see family members worshiping together here in the sanctuary, and I'm sure that at homes too, you have family members who are worshiping together. Isn't it wonderful that we have family members, or we can just be close to? We have to have a social distance, but we don't have to have a family distance, and that's a blessing for all of us. As we are continuing with the series of Each One Reach One, we want to talk about the evangelism. Did you know, a normal person going through a day, that each one of us go through at least 3,000 to about 5,000 ads a day that we tend to kind of go through with our eyes and just reading and just looking over? 3,000 to 5,000 ads per day. You go to a gas pump to pump gas, and here in New Jersey, you don't have to pump gas, but other states, you do. There are ads, and then there are little TVs just advertising something. ATM machines, airport, and you go billboards, and all over, even as you go through Facebook, you are bound to encounter hundreds of ads on the social media. We're bombarded with all kinds of ads calling us to buy more and better things. And ads seem to work. You tend to buy things that you don't even need because it looks really cool. How about this one thing I saw in the ad that is supposed to shave off the callus from your foot? And I bought it, and I'm using it almost every day. It's so like addicting to just see little smoke of skin, dead skins just fly all over the house. I bought it because I saw it in the ad. It looked really cool. And I'm sure we, you know, buy things for our kids, and we buy things for our loved ones because of ads, what we saw. Saturday morning, you see children program, and you cannot help to go through all these ads that entices young children to buy certain kind of cereal, certain kind of toys. And as parents, you feel like it's your parental duty to buy them something because you saw them on the ad, and it really, really looked cool and delicious. Every business person knows quite well that the power of ad is crucial for the success of a company. In order for them to sell more, they know that they have to spend money in order to advertise. Now, so church has something to sell. We have something wonderful to sell. We have Jesus to sell, but who is advertising? Who is letting people know how wonderful Jesus is? Jesus is our King. Jesus offers life. Jesus is the light. And Jesus gives us eternal life, promise of good and wonderful and blessed life. Who is advertising? Where is the advertisement? When we look around, there is hardly any promotion of God. It seems like it's left to the professionals to do it. Pastors, missionaries, evangelists, they're supposed to go out and tell other people about how great God is. But rest of us, we just go through life without really kind of telling other people about who Jesus is. We get impressed by non-professionals, non-pastors, non-missionaries, non-evangelists. When they do certain kind of a gesture of Christianity, we feel like, wow, they're courageous, they're bold, they're awesome. Someone's wearing WWJD kind of bracelet, and go, whoa, that person's cool. And if you have a little fish sign in the back of a car, you go, wow, that must be a Christian. And if you see an athlete praying on the field after scoring a touchdown or having a victory, we feel like, wow, that's something. There's a promotion going on of Jesus. Many have passed the buck to professionals, and we feel like it's not our job to share the gospel to other people, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to become an advertisement for God for other people. You see, when we rely on the professionals, only a fraction of people are reached. Very small fraction. But, you know, we all are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, not only a few. Today's passage is a familiar one. Jesus calling his disciples. Peter and Andrew, they were brothers and they were fishermen. And Jesus calls them, follow me. Now you're catching fish. Now you're going to catch men. you're a fisherman, now I'm going to be helping you or teaching you how to be a fisher of men and women. Obeying the command of Jesus Christ, church has called all of us to go. But it seems like not too many are prepared to go. Last Sunday, I shared with you that evangelism was a friendship, but not all friendship ends in evangelism. Unless we know how to share our faith, how to share the gospel, people will not really know, will know what to do with what we're sharing. And sharing faith may be the hardest conversation that you carry out, especially to people who are close to you. One time I was invited to speak at an Urbana conference in Chicago, Champaign, Illinois. And the subject that I was to teach was how to share gospel to your family members. And I had to share three messages in different time and different location. It was on campus, so people didn't expect too many people to show up. It was one of a workshop. And so they gave me a small classroom at the University of Illinois. That classroom had about maybe 40 seats, and it just packed. And people were sitting outside, and people were sitting on the floor. So the second time, they gave me a bigger room. They said about 100 people. That was packed. There were people sitting on the floor. And the last one, they gave me a room that was a big lecture hall that sat like about 300-400 people. That was packed, and people were just running in to take the seat. And some incident happened. Someone tried to come in. It was a kind of a swinging door, you know. So one person was pushing to come in, but there was still a person outside, and so, you know, got hit, and the person had concussion, and they had to call an ambulance as well. And during the conference and during the workshop, and I was sharing about some of the ways that we can share gospel to our family members. These are family members, people who we're close to. They just were in tears of a hardship of having to share the gospel to the family members, people who you know so well, and yet you know that you have to share the gospel, because if you believe in heaven and hell, you cannot just go as if it doesn't matter. You have to share the gospel, yet having this hardship and having the wall that they encounter of as they share, the rejection that they receive is harsher than the people who you do not know. You see, it's easier for us to go to some overseas country, take the airplane, go to like Africa, go to Mexico, go to South America, and share the gospel to those who you do not know. You share the gospel, you come back, and that's it. But having to share the gospel with the people who you're close to, people who you live together, that is difficult. That is a difficult thing to do, yet we are called to share the gospel. You see, in order for us to be an effective fishers of men, we need to have a tactic. We need to have a plan. We cannot just go out and just, okay, I'm just going to do it. Believe in Jesus or you're going to go to hell. Well, that's one way, but that might not work. Any fisherman knows you use different bait for different fish. Is Deacon David here today? He's an avid fisherman. And, you know, he goes fishing, takes a boat out and goes deep sea fishing. And any good fisherman knows different bait for different fish. One time, I was told I was using little worm to catch fish. And he said, you know, this avid fisherman says, with that, you're only going to catch small fish. If you want big fish, you got to use bulgogi. and so he gave me just bulgogi piece with a whole bunch of sesame oil. And I was trying to catch fish with that. But I don't know why. He was catching, but I wasn't catching anything. But we, with the gospel too, for you to be good fishers of men, for you to really reel in people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need different approach, different bait. Even Jesus, when he called fishermen, he used this bait. They knew what it meant to fish. And that he told them, to Peter and Andrew, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Jesus, to fishermen, he tells a fisherman story. To farmer, he tells a farmer story. As he was looking at the people who were farmers, he was telling, okay, there was a farmer who went out and scattered the seed. Some fell on rocky soil, some fell on thorny soil, some fell on good soil. You see, Jesus is very relevant to where we are. And that's how we need to be as we share the gospel. We need to be relevant where people are. I'm going to be sharing with you about 6 or 7 approaches that we can take. First is an intellectual approach. If you read Acts chapter 17, there's a story of Paul and Silas sharing the gospel. And, you know, he's sharing the gospel to Thessalonica, to the Thessalonians. And this is what he says. He is reasoning from the scripture, explaining and proving that Christ had to suffer and die and rise again from the dead. You see, Paul was intellectual enough to reason with people, proving intellectually how all these things work out. Late Rabbi Zechariah, he was a Christian apologetic. He had an amazing way of just reaching out to the intellectual community and explaining the gospel the way that they could understand, that made sense. Instead of saying, believe or you're going to go to hell. But that wasn't the approach that he took. If you go on YouTube and listen to some of his reasonings, why we need to believe in Jesus Christ, why Jesus is God, he explains it very intellectually, very eloquently, step by step. For this, you need some biblical knowledge. The reason why we tell you to take Bible studies and for you to be trained as a disciple of Jesus Christ is so that you can explain to someone who has an intellectual approach, intellectual kind of necessity for them to hear from you. I want to recommend a book to you for those of you who want to approach in an intellectual level. This is an easy book to read. Josh McDowell's, to young people as well, this is a good book to read. Josh McDowell's Evidence That Demands Verdict. This is a good book to read for you to have an intellectual approach to understanding the gospel. I know that within our church, there are plenty of people who have an intellectual ability to explain. Dr. Yang is one of them. He's a professor at a university, and he has an amazing way of approaching the gospel and the creation of God in a very intellectual level. And there are some people who need to be approached at an intellectual level. And there are some who need to be approached in confrontational level. Apostle Peter had a confrontational style to evangelism in the Bible. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, he raises his voice and says, listen carefully to what I have to say. And then he says, you know, go on to say, save yourself from this corrupt generation. He was just fire and brimstone. He was telling people like it is. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell. You're going to die, and you're going to go to hell. And he calls the generation a corrupt generation. This requires courage and confidence. At times, this approach these days can backfire, so you need to be very careful about how to approach it. Peter had boldness and courage, and because of his approach of just confronting people the way it is, on that day and another, over 3,000 people came to Christ. The Bible says for us to be shrewd as snake and as innocent as dove, we need to be smart. We need to be very strategic about how we share the gospel. Simply yelling at someone that they're going to hell if they don't believe, they may think you're weird. I remember when I was freshman in college, I went to University of California at Davis. There was a young man who was dressed in three-piece suit, and he came out where the students gathered. I think I shared this last Sunday as well. And he began always the same thing. Lusty, lusty, lusty. That was the first three words that he said. That, you know, it was a very kind of a, during summertime, it's very hot at Davis, and people were wearing shorts, and he just pointed out how lusty they are, and that didn't work too well. You know, he was just people kind of mocked him and made fun of him and stuff like that. But some people need to be just confronted. And third way that we can approach is testimonial approach. This is my favorite. Telling people how God impacted my life, how God changed my life. This is a wonderful way to share to people. You know, before I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was a wreck. But after I met Jesus Christ, boy, my life is not the same again. for others, other people to see life change in me. That's a great testimony. So you and I, in a way, we are walking testimony of Jesus Christ. We're walking advertisement of Jesus Christ. If you go out in New York, I don't know if they have these days too, the sandwich men, you know, they have like cardboard, like front and back, you know, with the string tied, and they're advertising, you know, a restaurant or something. We are advertisement of Jesus Christ as we go around telling people about our testimonies, how God changed my life. The young salesman was disappointed about losing a big sale. As he talked to his sales manager, this is what he told him. I guess it just proves that you can lead a horse to the water, but you cannot make him drink. The manager replied, son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty. You see, people are thirsty these days living in this world. As Brother Wu prayed, people are directionless. We don't know where we're headed. We're just people who are lost. And the future is so insecure. Those of you who are graduating from college, will there be a job for me, as many are just filing for unemployment and there's joblessness all around? Will there be future for me? There's so much uncertainty. People are just thirsty for the truth, thirsty for the hope. And for me to share the hope in Jesus Christ, for me to share my future in Jesus Christ, that could be a strong and powerful testimony to other people. Those of you who are avid golfers, you know the guy named KJ Choi. He's a Korean golfer who made it big. He's a devout Christian. He's a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the way he shares his testimony is amazing. He lives in Texas, and he almost came to the church that I was pastoring when he moved to Texas. Almost means that he didn't. But because of his wife, he didn't come to our church. He wanted to come to our church, but then his wife, best friend, was a samonim at another church, pastor's wife. So they ended up going to that church, and the pastor was an avid golfer as well. So they hold this tournaments. KJ Choi is a mentor who is going to give you tips on how to golf, and they invite all these non-Christians. And in that spot, KJ shares his testimony, how he came to know Jesus Christ and how Jesus transformed his life. You see, when we begin to share the testimony of how God changed my life, that can make an impact. Or simply you can just invite people to come. Invitation approach. In John chapter 4, there's a story of Samaritan woman. This woman she was so afraid of meeting people because her life was a mess. She was married 5 times. Well, I don't know about marriage, but now she's with the 5th man, and not even her husband. So she was ashamed of meeting people, and she was a Samaritan, shunned by the Jews. So she comes at odd hours to draw water from the well, and she meets Jesus, and it just transformed her life. And she doesn't know anything about Jesus. All that she knows is Jesus is great. And what does she do? She leaves her water jar behind. She runs into the town and she tells people, come and meet Jesus. This guy named Jesus whom I met, he's wonderful. He knew everything about me. He just changed my life. And she just invites people to come. She never shared the gospel. She never gave a tract. She never knocked on the door. All she did was come and meet Jesus that I met. She just invited people to come. And this is a wonderful way to invite people to come. Another way that we can do it is interpersonal approach. Matthew was a tax collector, and when he came to faith, he realized that his tax collector friends, you can call them IRS people here, you know, all these friends that he had who were tax collectors, they didn't know Jesus Christ. So how can I have them come to meet Jesus Christ? And so he throws a big party and invites Jesus. That's a good way. You know, that's what you can do. You know, if you don't know how to share the gospel, throw a big party, invite your friends who are non-Christians, and invite your pastor. I'm down for it. If you have a good food, I'm there. invite them to do it. Another approach that you can make is serving approach. In Acts chapter 9, we find a woman whose name is Dorcas. What a name, Dorcas. And she had a great impact on Christian community because her habits of doing good deeds of kindness to other people. She made garments for the poor and forgotten people in her city, and then she distributed them in the name of Jesus Christ. Kind of a mercy ministry, serving ministry, kindness ministry. That's what she did. During this pandemic time, our family, and this was organized by one of our church deacon, Ro, and their family, and every week we made over 1,000 lunch bags and passed them out to the people who were out on the street, homeless people and people who were day workers who couldn't find jobs. So, you know, those kind of things speaks volume. When you're down and out, someone coming to you and lending a helping hand, that can make a great impact upon people as well. You know, our goal is to bring them to Christ. Of course, we need to help them. We need to really lend a helping hand. But ultimate goal is for them to meet Jesus Christ, whom can transform their lives. Not just feeding them one meal, but for them to be full all their life. One of our church members, when I was in English ministry in Los Angeles, two brothers came to church for the first time in their life. And no one invited them. No one shared the gospel with them, but they just came on their own. And I had an opportunity to talk to them and ask them, how did you come? Their name was George and Sung. Older brother was Sung and younger brother was George. How did you come? And this is what they said. My mother passed away a few weeks ago. Her last dying word was this: please go to church and believe in Jesus Christ. This is their story. Their mother had cancer and they were poor, and the father had left them when they were young. So it was a single mother and she was dying. And she couldn't afford, she didn't have insurance, so all she could, where she could go was a county hospital where poor people go. And in there was a woman who visited people who were Koreans, Korean-speaking people, and shared the love of Christ with them. Not just once, but every day she went on visitation, all these patients who came in. Sung and George's mother wasn't a Christian. She never went to church in her life. But because of her kindness, because of her sincerity, she accepted Jesus Christ, baptized at the hospital. And before she died, she called her two sons and told them, by the grace of God, I became Christian and I'm going to heaven. If you guys want to see me again in heaven, you go to church. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So because it was mother's last dying words, last will, they came to church. They accepted Jesus Christ, baptized. Sung moved up north to San Jose, and he's very devout Christian serving the church. And George became an ordained deacon, the leadership of church, and he served faithfully. You see, the world is in dire need of hope, dire need of just some kind of good news. And we have that good news with us, the good news of Jesus Christ. And this can be done, not in a very difficult way, but in a very simple way. We can serve, we can invite, we can have intellectual discussion about who Jesus is. We can share our testimonies and how God has worked in our lives. There are so many different ways of approaching to people and sharing the gospel. You see, the reason why Jesus left us here on earth, you know, after we became Christian, it would have been wonderful if he just took us to our eternal home. But the reason he left us here is for this reason, for us to go and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no one will perish, but everyone shall have everlasting life. That's what we're called to do, to share the gospel. We do not want people just waiting, open the church door wide and waiting for people to just crowd into the church. That will not happen very, I don't think that will happen. What we need to do is go and obey what God has commanded us. First, he called us, come and follow me. And as Jesus departed, he told us to go into the world and to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We have a mission at hand. If there are anyone in our among our family members who are not yet in the family of God, this is time to begin praying for that person. Instead of just, you know, this one parent came to me and she was so upset that every Sunday morning she's yelling at her child to go to church and all that. And I said, that's not the way to do it. You know, you need to move his heart, not his body. Yeah, when your child is living under your house, yeah, he may move the body, but the heart needs to be moved to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. So you need to move people's heart. Just like Sung and George's mother, whose last dying words was to believe in Jesus Christ, we want that to be our last dying words for people who are not in relationship with God to be in relationship with him. Time to time, I hear people who just came back from retreat, revival, or some kind of crusade, or some short-term mission trip, and they say they're fired up for Jesus. It's easy to determine whether someone is aflame or not. If someone is aflame, someone is on fire, they're going to burn other people, right? They're going to impact other people, ignite other materials. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. If you're red hot for Jesus Christ, it is a normal thing to do for us to really pass on that fire to other people. As we remember the song that we sang many, many years ago when we went to Sunday school or when we went to the camp, it only takes a spark to get the fire going. It doesn't need much, but it takes a little effort from you and I to share the gospel, to share the hope and life of Jesus Christ. I pray not just for the sake of filling up the pews of the church. I pray that the people who are lost in our generation, who are hiding somewhere, they will come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and fill these pews. Not for the sake of growing church, but for the sake of saving lives. And you and I are the tools that God has chosen to use in order to share. We are the speakers. We are the advertising boards for Jesus Christ. You and I are walking ads. And the catchphrase is this: each one, reach one. Each one, reach one. So when we stand before God, what have you done? There will be people in heaven running toward God and telling, because of that guy, I am here. How wonderful would that would be for other people to come and testify. You know what Jim Bob has done? He helped me to be here. He was part of me being here. There's no greater joy and reward than hearing that testimony when we get to heaven. Let's pray. God, you are an amazing God. How did you think of sending your only son, Jesus Christ, to us to save all of us and to really give us life eternal? We are just amazed and we are just moved by your love and your kindness. God, we pray that as we are moved, as you have transformed our lives, that we will become agents of transformation in the world that is in dire need of hope and dire need of good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.